Hey, hey, it's the Pretty Corrupt Podcast, your inside guide to celebrity scandals and the reality of reality TV. I'm Jordan Ross Myers, the man behind Twitter's notorious Don Gunvalson and Lee Radswell, along with my co-hosts Stacey Noel Connor and Nate Safer. Welcome to PCP Pop Culture.
Now's a good time. I wish that I could do Truman Capote's voice to greet you guys. I don't know.
How long? You can try.
I mean, I could smoke like him. I don't know how we're going to do it, but.
Because your voice just gets lower and lower the more you smoke. It's not like you can get up really high.
Yeah, I can't. I can't. It's, like if you look, I guess we should kick off pop culture with Feud then. Mm-hmm. But I will say, if you look at back then interviews back then, for example, with Lee Radswell, she had that breathy Bouvier whisper, that soft Jackie. Now cut forward to her late interviews when she was in her 80s and still smoking two packs a day. It sounded closer to me and Luann than it did to that. So it does take a toll on you.
Can I just say real quick, I noticed when we started, you really wanted to say ahoy really badly. Like I saw your mouth go, and today would have actually been a great day to say ahoy, since it is raining buckets here in LA. We're in the middle of an atmospheric river where basically you kind of do need a boat to get around town, at least right now. Yeah. So put on your captain's hat.
I can't even like... I was at the store last night and I stocked up, not like survival gear, but just like literally I'm like, realistically, I probably won't want to go outside for the night. I have an extra pack of cigs.
So you bought joints. You bought like 12 cases of Celsius and like 30 packs of cigarettes. Is that, that's your stocking up for the flood?
Yeah. Oh, and by the way, luckily I have a spin bike, like not like a, you know, just like a stationary bike, because I can't go outside and pace. So I need to burn, like a hamster, I need to burn off this energy. I'm a cabin fever. So.
Is it in your garage so you can smoke and spin at the same time while on your phone? Like a 70s power broker agent there.
Which is like my whole dream vibe. Some like Gordon Gekko style. Now you gave me an idea to move it out there though, so thank you. And I have that heart attack really. But I mean, so how
was Feud? How was
delightful.
It
delightful. I enjoyed it. I know Stacey watched it. Nate,
You know what? It took all of my being to watch Vanderpump Rules, and if you listen to our other episode, I'm finally watching multiple Bravo shows now. Don't expect me to watch a feud on top of it.
We all kind of individually piece together, cover everything. Like Stacey was making fun of me because I don't watch as much Bravo as I know about.
Yeah, I was like, I do all the homework and he gets all the glory. Like I pretty much watch, I would say 90% of Bravo's content I watch. And so, and I'm just like, are you joking? Like, how can we call ourselves a Bravo podcast at times when you don't watch all the content? Neither one of you.
I watch and am very behind the scenes involved in the shows that matter to me in my little bubble.
That's fair. No, that's a fair point.
I lived through some of this stuff, but
I don't want to.
I
don't want to give you credit for working smarter, not harder. You know, that's just the whole point.
Yeah, I kind of cliff note some of it, but I am on social media. Another thing, I figure all the best stuff makes it to social media. So I'm just like, oh, that's an amazing clip. I work off vibes here. And I'm like, okay, I see.
I mean, I guess I should have expected cliff notes from, you know, a couple of UCLA grads. So there you go.
Oh, I haven't read a book since, I don't know, it was sixth or seventh grade. So yeah, you got me.
But one show that I have been I've spent the past decade preparing for, manifesting. giving birth to in my own mind, even though Ryan Murphy doesn't know I exist, probably or definitely. Feud debuted this week, finally. Capote versus the Swans. So the first two episodes came out, which are good. And if you're, what did you think, Stacey?
I liked it. It's definitely Babe Paley's story as well as like Truman Capote's story. So Naomi
Watts.
Who plays
Babe?
Naomi
Watts. She also is a producer on it too. So I was like, okay, well then that makes sense. Mm-hmm. She's like, it's going to be a little bit more about me. I love the wigs. I love the hairstyles. I love the fashion. I like the way it's set up. So far I've really enjoyed it. I really love Tom Hollander as Truman Capote. I wouldn't have necessarily put him there like at the beginning, but I was like, oh no, he totally fits the vibe like very much. I was like, yeah, this is good. Yeah, he's got it. He's a great actor. So yeah.
I love the smoking. There isn't a scene. It's easier to count the moments where they're someone isn't lighting a cigarette constantly. Yep. So that's true. And it's good. I do know, I've read all the books and I know all the stuff. I consider myself Lee. No, I'm joking, but you know. So I do. But so I was seeing online though, a lot of people are confused. Like, obviously, the ones who follow Lee Radswell know who Lee was. But this is a new concept to a new generation. I mean, these women, some of them would be well over 100 now, and they died 40, 50. Babe Paley's been dead at least 45 years. And so this was a different generation. So I was trying to, like, figure out how to explain it to people. Like, for those who – because some were – how do I put it? Like you were saying, it is Babe Paley's story, that she's the focal point. And the way I would describe the Swans, if people need help understanding, the two bookends were Babe Paley and Lee Radswell. Those were his two favorites. And there was a big age gap between them, which is why on the show you'll see that there's this like deep, close sisterhood between Babe Paley, Slim Keith, CZ Guest. They were the core Swans. Babe Paley was 18 years older than Lee. Slim was 15 years older. So they were a different generation, and they were those true old guard socialites. And Babe was the queen of them all. To this day, you know, Dumois is rumored to have been founded by, was it her granddaughter or great-granddaughter? She was one of the two partners.
We discussed. I would say probably great granddaughter.
Yeah, but so and then like the way Lee fits into it is she was they are all from that same world, that waspy, that old guard bred to be rich men's wives, the whole thing. But
not really. Babe and her sister were, but like Slim. Slim came from California. She was kind of poor. She married Howard Hawks. Like she she kept marrying up. Like she didn't fail upwards. She married upwards. Like she succeeded upwards. And CZ Guest, she's kind of like in the middle. Like she definitely worked her way up, and she was also in Hollywood for a little while, and then she married really well. And
she was in Hollywood?
Yeah, she was in Hollywood for a little bit. Yeah. I mean, I could be wrong, but that sticks in my head because I was surprised. I was like, oh. Okay, but she was out there, but not like CZ, not like Slim as much. Slim was like way out there, lot more. But something about CZ, like she ran off. She like really pissed off her parents. Like she ran off with a guy or ran off to Hollywood to go do something. And then she finally kind of came back into the fold, like after she sold the Royal Boats.
And that was pretty racy I mean, back then, LA, that was kind of like my grandma is exactly Lee Radswell's age. It kind of came from not a debutante, but came from that mentality of like the 50s housewife Mad Men era. And she told me if she had told her parents she wanted to be an actress or a model, they would have said, you want to be a hooker. Like, I mean, things like that were were like forbidden for a properly brought up girl of that era. But so it was kind of like, that's what I was, I'm sorry, I lost my train of thought. That's what I was trying to explain. Lee, which is weird because especially the way we see her as like Jackie's sister and stuff, she was the rebel of the group. Mm-hmm. She was younger. If they were, they would have been like Kim and Paris, and Jackie and Lee would have been like Kendall and Kylie. They were different age groups, and Lee's bond with Truman was that she was a little more bohemian. They went on tour with the Rolling Stones and slept on the tour bus. I mean, can you imagine like Babe Paley? They spent summers with partying, slumming it with Andy Warhol. So it is a different, and you see it kind of in the show where they're in their bouffants and Lee's like kind of in this like badass hat, like at the funeral. So
how long does this show go? Is it across years? Is it like, what is the time frame?
Yeah. So it's hard. I haven't seen the whole season, but I do know of episodes coming up and where you can place them in time. And it's going to flash backwards and flash forward. So when it opens, it's in the mid-70s. It's the fallout, the end of their friendship with Truman Capote. He's released the book, and this is his end. That's about, I think, 1975, I want to say. But I know... An upcoming episode will be a flashback to the biggest night of his life, which was the mid-60s, his black and white ball.
66.
Yeah. October 66, the party of the century where he celebrated Lee and Babe and all the movie. You know, it was his Cinderella moment, I guess. So that will flashback almost 10 years. And then I know shortly after this, Babe dies, and he died, I think, the early 80s.
I think so. I'll look.
So it's going to cover roughly 15 years. We're going to see it go back and forth in time. So right now we're kind of seeing like, it's an interesting way for them to tell the story because they're starting basically at the end. They're breaking up with Truman and Babe's going through chemo, which she won't recover from. But there's a whole... I mean, people are Wikipedia-ing it. That's why I'm trying to explain it, because I've seen a lot of, like, who are these people?
Yeah.
I'm like, how dare you? No. But so it's going to cover like 15... But I mean, it's central. Like, his two favorites, like I said, were Babe. She was the supreme of the queen. And he loved Lee. And he truly... He thought she was better. He didn't like Jackie. That's a fun fact. He was not impressed by Jackie. He loved Lee. And he went on record as saying, for Babe Paley, what did he say? She's her only flaw. Babe's only flaw is that she's perfect. Other than that, she's perfect. And for Lee, he said that... He said that Lee is far more, no, he said Lee is infinitely more beautiful than her more photogenic sister. Jackie's given credit for all the things that Lee actually is. Beautiful, stylish, elegant. He basically said that Jackie Kennedy Onassis was a basic bitch. I mean, he didn't like her. He took those two and truly believed in their powers. And for Lee, he was always encouraging her to go on tour or act. Or he wanted her out of her sister's spot, out of her sister's shadow, because he believed she was truly the star of the Bouviers. And he didn't. I don't think he was too fond of Lee. So I'm sorry, of Jackie. Mm-hmm. So it's an interesting. That's what I mean. There are two dynamics, strong dynamics that went on with him. It was for many, many years, Truman and Babe. And then later in his life, Lee became his project and he wanted to build her up. And then it all ends, as we know. We'll see it coming up. So
I feel like I looked at some pictures of like Truman Capote and I was like, It looks like Nate and Truman could have been related. You guys kind of look.
First of all, how dare you?
It's the eyes. Mm. It's the eyes. You guys have like very similar eyes. Like I was like, look.
And the bitchiness. It's kind of true. As well.
And yeah. Your flattery yeah. towards women is really high quality. Like yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. No, we have the same opinion. Yeah, absolutely.
Does that make Sutton your swan?
Well,
would Sutton be your swan? Aww. Is she your?
Well, no, because I am not having a falling out with Sutton. Please, no. I would never. Would never. Well, we were talking about. I'm always confused about how old Truman Capote is in any photo because he looked old. Mm-hmm. I have not seen young photos, but. From everything I've seen from the 60s on, and he died, he wasn't very old when he died. Yep. He died at like 59.
Right.
But he looked old the entire time, yeah. Which is, that's honestly one of the best ways to age is look old young, and then everybody will say you look great when you actually yeah. get old. It's just unfortunate when you look old young, and that's what I did. I haven't looked that different. Well, weight changes aside, I haven't looked that different. I just looked old as a 20.
See? Am I wrong?
20s, an aged.
It's kind of, no. Nate and I, no, if true. You guys can't tell, or Nate and I both are bald. And at this point in my life, it's fun watching my friends catch up.
Yeah, it was rough in your early 20s, yeah. But now it's like, yep, like, ha, 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 welcome
your
home.
Time
you're, like,
has come.
You're like, here's your hat. Like,
yeah. Yes.
Yeah. So that is fun. But Truman, you know, a little fun fact. Oh, I could totally do photos of this. I think I have on our page, but I will again. And I know that's not a great promise from me. Follow through with it. Anyways, fun fact. So Truman actually is buried in the Westwood Cemetery. I think I discussed it where he died out here, essentially a mm-hmm. broken man. I mean, he was run out of New York because the swans cut him off, and he died out here. He lived with Joanna Carson.
Mm-hmm. He's played by Molly Ringwald. He's buried in the show. West.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Brat Pack. Okay. Brat Pack meets Camelot meets like.
Yep.
And so he's buried there, the same cemetery where Marilyn Monroe and Hugh Hefner and a lot of them are, and then also buried very close to him, and I don't know how this came about, Lee Radswell's last husband, he ended up out there too. I wouldn't say she buried him because she never technically was a widow. She divorced them she would divorce them, clean them out, and shortly later, within years, they would die. And that happened. I think she was 9 months off or something like that. But he had no children. I don't know. So Lee's last husband and Truman Capote are buried very close to each other there in Westwood. Ooh. I have pictures of the grave. I'll make sure to share.
Of course you do.
Two men she's...
Honestly, it's very morbid. It's very morbid that, you know, some people like to wander around cemeteries. But, you know, in LA, they're the ones that have very famous members,
yeah, members.
Residents.
Residencies.
I don't know.
I like residents.
Residents. I don't know. Like people have heard like Hollywood Forever, mm-hmm. and there's a couple other ones that have a lot of celebrities who are buried there. But the one in Westwood, in terms of just, we're talking, you know, number of celebrities in a very small area. If you ever find yourself in the Westwood area, this is seriously like less than a city block cemetery. And there are so many famous people.
Oh,
there.
You have,
you know, again, it's morbid to walk around a cemetery, but it's kind of cool. Just in this little block, you just go headstone to headstone. And a lot of them are in the mausoleum. Yeah. So they're just like, you know, names on a wall.
And the one
everybody is famous.
Oh, the one we've talked about. I have to do this. I could do a video tour actually. Easily. Now if I get my mind to it. So guys hold me to it. But it's also where the one private family mausoleum that's allowed there is the Army Hammer. And then across from that are the plots for the Davises, as in Gummy Bear, Greasy Bear. I mean, it's a mix of celebrities, old celebrities, billionaires, the names you see on buildings around LA. It's like you everywhere you turn is like a name. And so it is really cool. But I don't think Truman would have preferred to be buried there. He lived in exile. I hate to admit that because I love LA so much, but he ends in exile out here. So, spoiler alert if you don't have Wikipedia. We'll get into it more,
though. I'll get around to watching this feud eventually.
I've been trying to pace myself with the posting on Lee because I'm like, there are 8 episodes. We're in week 1, and it's been like me burning through photos and fun facts. So, we'll watch along.
They're not doing 2 every week, right? That was just kind of a starter.
I think it was a launch.
Did 2 episodes the first week.
I'm not sure, but I think it was a launch. Okay. I don't know. Yeah. So that was fun. What else do we have in pop culture? I'm here living in the past. What's going on in the present?
Well, let's...
I was going to say,
well, let's get a little bit closer to the present. Let's just take you to 2020, when apparently... Ayo from The Bear did a podcast, and she and the podcast host both said that J-Lo was a scam, that J-Lo's scene career was a scam. And I don't disagree. Yeah. I think they were both spitting facts, and then Ayo had to host Saturday Night Live with J-Lo as the musical guest. And everybody's bringing it up.
Yeah. Yeah, that's awkward. Yeah, the podcast that it's Ayo Edebiri. Is that how you pronounce her last name? I'm very bad.
I believe so. I just didn't want to fuck it up either. So
I just hear it as Ayo.
I'm sure people are really gonna appreciate that.
I don't watch The Bear because the shows that give you anxiety. I can't. I have enough trouble with Curb
Thank
Your
Enthusiasm.
To be honest with you, I cannot handle The Bear. So I wasn't that familiar with her. I know she just won an Emmy recently, except that I saw her last week in theater camp. I had no idea she was in theater camp because I didn't know who she was. And then I saw her. I was like, oh, well, yeah, I know her. She hosted SNL this week, like you said. And the podcast she went on was called Scam Goddess back like 4 years ago before. And she was not, like you said, she was not like known at the time. And the whole point of the podcast was they kind of get into with scams, and they somehow got on the subject of J-Lo. And like you said, they said that Ayo's exact words were her whole career is one long scam.
Who told her she could sing?
Yes. And they got into, and this has evidently been a longstanding rumor, is that J-Lo has used ghost singers like a la Milli Vanilli. Like, it's not even her singing has been rumored for a long time.
Well, there's a whole thing that she's basically not singing it. You know, Ashanti did the demo, and then it's basically Ashanti like singing basically pretty much all of it. And they just kind of like tune some stuff, and like the amount of times that like J-Lo hasn't shown these are rumors, allegedly, that J-Lo hasn't had time to show up to the studio to record. It's apparently a bunch of times.
Sure.
Allegedly, those are rumors. So yeah, but sorry, go ahead.
But she couldn't have imagined, I imagine, 4 years ago doing one day when you really first break it. I mean, she's been on The Bear for a little bit now, but she just won an Emmy, so she's really blowing up. She's hosting SNL, which is, I imagine, a huge honor. For some reason, J-Lo's the musical guest and not the host, which I thought was kind of weird.
Yeah.
I know that J-Lo's she's probably doing this on purpose because she's doing this whole focus back into music. Like, her new album is called This Is Me Now. You know, she had the This Is Me album all those years ago. So that's her whole thing is, I'm going to come in as a musician, not a host. But yeah, it's awkward when, obviously whoever was doing the scheduling for this show did not see that random podcast from 4 years ago. I'm curious who dug it up, because that was
people got time. You know, it's a tough job market out there. So people got time to dig up people on old podcasts saying stuff that they don't remember saying. Shit's gonna get picked up about us someday, and I'm just gonna go, I don't know.
I was just like going through the bat. I was like, what is there that could be? The only one who's an escape by is Nate with Sutton Strack.
Basically.
Pretty much other than that.
We're going to get skewered for everything else. But this is the thing, though. Then, so I was at my friend's place earlier today, and so we watched a little bit because we were talking about this. So we watched J-Lo's first musical performance because she had these kind of cool pants on. And look, J-Lo's body's banging. Like, that's something she does work very hard at, and she does take pride. Like, that's something mm-hmm. that, like, you can't – that's that you – she eats well. She definitely exercises. She dances. She keeps it well for 50, whatever she is right now. So, like, girl, hello. And these pants were really cool. And, like, she's dancing. She got all this stuff. Like, she sang for maybe, I don't know, 6 bars, but total. But, like, it was cool. But then her next song was this Is Me Now song. It's a ballad. And she's there in this crazy flower dress thing where, like, half of her body, she's on some, like, pedestal type of thing so that she doesn't move and she just sings. And I was like, well, this is her trying to prove A.O. wrong that she can sing. And I was like, and she's just proven A.O. right because she can sing. Mm. I was like, no. I mean, and look, I don't think none of us are singers here. But that's also, we know our lane. We're not singers. We're not pretending to like, do this. Like, she's a great dancer. She's a great performer too. Like, and that's the thing. Like, I think it's also kind of like, we all know that there are pop stars, that there's kind of a category. There's one category that are really great dancers and performers, and they're okay singers, you know, and they've got most of their
Britney
concerts. I didn't say it. You did. Most of their concerts, they're lip syncing because they have so much performance. It's really hard. And then you have other pop stars who are big singers. They're not necessarily dancers. They rely on their dancers and everything else to create this huge show around them. You know what I mean? And I would say
Whitney that would Houston. Be like,
Whitney Houston.
Whitney Pink, Houston Christina, only needed a Christina microphone. Aguilera.
Exactly. Yeah. So and Taylor Swift is like in the middle. She's like an okay singer. She's not really a dancer though either. So she creates a complete experience. Beyonce is like everything. Like, let's be real. I don't want Swifties to come after me. I like Taylor. So like, there's no shade. It's just, but Taylor knows her lane. Beyonce knows her lane. Pink knows her lane. Britney knows her lane. J-Lo wants all the lanes. She wants all the lanes.
Yeah. And it's kind of unfair too. Like, I don't know if people know that the SNL studio infamously is terrible sound. Like, musicians have been saying that for we're going almost 50 years that this show's on SNL, but it's famously poor acoustics. So a lot of musicians over the years, that's why the Ashley Simpson thing I always thought was kind of unfair, because she's not doing a Milli Vanilli where it was never her in the first place. She was doing a lip syncing track, which a lot of musicians do. And she just got caught. And she, you know, a lot of musicians do it at SNL because of the acoustic sound is so bad that they're afraid they'll sound bad. She got busted. But I think she unfairly got made because she's still made fun of till this day. So I don't blame somebody lip syncing on SNL is my point. But J-Lo, it was very bold of her to do a halftime show with Shakira, because Shakira is both a better singer and dancer than her. So that was bold. That was a bold thing.
If you don't remember, that was like the last live performance any of us saw before the COVID.
It was like 2 weeks before COVID.
And then we went into darkness for a while. So
imagine how much COVID got.
She may have upset the gods.
Maybe.
Oh, man. But I thought that was interesting because I just was like, you know what? I hope this girl doesn't get raked over the coals more, because A, she was spitting facts. B, she's allowed to have her opinion, you know? And C, J-Lo's got so much fucking money. She's still going to keep making money. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like she's just mad she doesn't have an Emmy now. And A.O. does.
Yeah, it's true.
Oh, you know what? Speaking of like J-Lo, was J-Lo, I guess we should talk about it, but was J-Lo at the Grammys? So we're recording as it's going on, and my social media hasn't shown yet a picture of J-Lo kind of scolding a miserable Ben Affleck on the red carpet. So
no,
I don't know if they were there.
They skipped it.
Okay.
Ben did have a big they did roll out Ben's ad campaign for Dunkin' tonight. Mm. It's a whole campaign that's gonna culminate at the Super Bowl. Mm. It's kind of a fun, I mean, based on the first one that aired tonight during the Grammys, it's like him trying to start a music career and he's really leaning heavy into the Boston. He's basically playing Ben Affleck, but he's doing the character from Good Will Hunting. Oh, okay. Like he's leaning super into that, but it's very funny so far. And it ends with like a to be continued. So it's clearly going to roll into the Super Bowl, but it's very funny. But no, they were not at the ceremony as far as I can
tell. Well, she was in New York last night. Not that she can't afford a flight or a private, but yeah, I mean, it's a bit much.
If Taylor can make the Super Bowl for her boyfriend after playing a concert in Tokyo, I think then J-Lo could have made the Grammys. But also, I don't know, was J-Lo nominated for anything? Probably not.
I don't think she's a nominee.
No. She shouldn't wait by the phone next year either, for being honest.
Unless you're presenting or nominated, like, why do you, like, don't go to an award show. Just go to the after parties and stuff like that. Like, also, it is raining buckets here in Los Angeles. Like, there's so much standing water. Like, you really do need Noah's Ark right now.
The Grammys, though, of all the shows, I did 10 Grammys. I did 10 of all of them. The Grammys was always the best one for weather because the Grammys carpet is always covered. It's always enclosed, no matter whether, because they have, I don't know if you ever watched the Grammys carpet, they're chandeliers. So it's always an enclosed tent. So the weather never was an issue. So that was good. Otherwise, I hated doing that show. But yeah.
Tell us more.
Yeah. It's just such a pain in the ass, that one. A lot of it, and I realized how old and washed I am right now, where I didn't recognize. I've gotten to the point now where I've come to terms with the fact that if I watch the VMAs, I'm not going to recognize most of the people on the carpet because it's a lot of TikTokers, influencers. Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay. But the Grammys, I was watching their carpet tonight. I'm like, who are these people? I miss the olden days when I was there for the golden age of Gaga. Like when Gaga showed up in the egg, I was there. I was a few feet from that. That was the golden days. Now I don't know. I don't know anybody. I was shocked to see the first award of the night, I believe. Miley won her first Grammy. Had never won one before. That was actually shocking to me.
I didn't know she was nominated. I mean, I just don't know. I just don't know. Exactly. I don't follow music that way. Like I do.
At least
television.
She's someone we know. Like,
but
I was flipping through the TMZ. The TMZ red carpet gallery, like live. It was like 72 photos. I didn't know 80% of them. And the names that stood out to me were Miley, Paris Hilton, and Candy Burris. Like, that's where I'm at mentally. I don't know all these people. Taylor Swift, too. But I mean, it wasn't like. It'll be like DJ X39. I'm like, I don't know who these people.
Nate, though, you did know somebody on the show.
Oh, unfortunately. That was so I was watching and it's very okay. I mean, I just moments ago talked about liking to walk around cemeteries, which I don't really. It's morbid to say that I kind of. The in memoriam is always for most of those award shows. It's not a part that I'm like, oh, that's the best part because that seems really mean and cruel. But it's one of the more interesting parts because you're always like, oh, I forgot that person passed this year, this and that. But this year I was watching it and somebody I know was on it. I had no idea she passed. She's not like a huge name. She's a behind the scenes person. I worked with her for years. We started at Top Chef together. Mm. And when her name, and she worked for the Grammys, that's part of the reason why she was on the broadcast. Like she was, you know, she was very much behind the scenes, and a lot of those people that make it on TV, you know, you know, they mostly people you know. But I was blown away. It was just such a weird feeling to be like, oh my God, her name's Chris Claver. I knew she'd been sick for a while. She'd been sick for a while of cancer, but I was just that just hit me like a ton of bricks. I'm like, what? To learn that watching a live award show is just crazy. So, but yeah, that made me sad. But yeah, anyway, I miss you, Chris. But I, so The another thing, you know, Taylor Swift breaking the internet again. I don't know if you saw that she announced when she, I think she won 4 or 5 tonight. But the first one she won ended up being her 13th oh. Grammy. And if you're a Swiftie, 13 is a very big number for her. But she decided to announce then that she has a new album coming out in April or May, which, you know, the typical, you go on Twitter, it breaks the internet, because that's a thing everybody likes to say, that something breaks the internet. I'm not a Swiftie. I don't have anything against Taylor. But I was kind of shocked at how this blew people away. I thought she was she's been releasing like yearly albums for like, it seems like she has a new album every year.
Yeah, my question,
like I know she's re-recording her old albums, the yeah. whole Scooter Braun thing. I know those, but I was under the impression she was also releasing new material several times over the last year. But if you were to believe what's going on Twitter right now, you'd think that, it's blowing people away. She announced this new album. I'm like, really? Okay.
Wait, question. Okay. Is this a re-release or is this a fresh new album?
No, this is new. This is new.
Okay.
Right. It's fresh new stuff, but I don't feel like it's been that long since her last one. So I don't know why.
She's kind of a machine.
I know everything she does, like blows off every, yeah. you know, like it's a story no matter what. I get it.
I thought she was waiting.
Yeah,
I assume she was waiting till we figure out where she's going to end up with Travis or not end up with Travis. Mm-hmm. I assumed he would be her next album, whether it ended well or ended, you know what I mean.
Good or bad.
It kind of, her albums are chapters on breakups or relationships. I'm rooting for them, but I'm just saying I assumed one way or the other, yeah, she puts out so many albums. I thought she'd take a break, but yeah.
Who knows? The big reveal at the end, which, like you said, we were kind of doing this as it's going. So they announced what before the show happened that there was going to be a huge star presenting the last award. And they didn't give any hints or anything. And in fact, it was kind of a secret up until photos started leaking like mid show that it was, Celine Dion,
Queen of the World,
Celine Dion. She presented the, best album of the year, which mm-hmm. I think did go to Taylor, but, it was the first time anybody's seen Celine mm-hmm. in public in a long, long time.
And with her,
cause she, you know, she has
called stiff person syndrome.
Stiff person syndrome, which worst name for a very, because you hear it almost sounds mm-hmm. cartoony, and it's a very serious neurological disorder. Yeah. It almost sounds like a personality issue.
Like, personality disorder. Yeah.
Like, and Stacey, you mentioned, I think it's a brilliant idea, is that they should name this
after
her.
They should call it Celine Dion syndrome.
Because stiff person syndrome does not address the severity of the syndrome. Like, it's
because I liken it to Lou Gehrig's disease. Like, people, like, we now call it ALS more, but that's because it was then given the shorter name of ALS. Like, I can't even pronounce what ALS is. But when Lou Gehrig had it, then it brought you know, obviously attention to ALS, and then people knew what was going on, because you would just say Lou Gehrig's disease, and then you're like, oh, I know what that is, and I know what that seems like. Whereas, like, so if you started calling it Celine Dion syndrome or Celine Dion disease, like, you would all of a sudden go, oh, I know what that is, as opposed to, excuse me, what? Stiff person? Like, what? You know what I mean? Or, like, the Latin name for it or whatever. Like, but if you call it Celine Dion syndrome, I would go, oh, yeah.
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 Because it's completely derailed her, mm-hmm. her career. I mean, she was, you know, she wasn't slowing down. She had stopped the residency, but she was going to go back to it. And she had to put that on hold. She hasn't performed in, I saw the number. I can't remember off the top of my head, but it had been so long. I was shocked. I was like, really? Yeah. It's been that long? But so this was her big, you know, back on stage, which is very cool to see.
We love you, Celine. We love you.
Yeah.
We do.
I will play her sometimes in class. And they'll be like, half the class is like, yes! And then there'll be a portion of the class that's like, what? How are you playing Celine Dion? And then they get into it, though.
I'm hearing like My Heart Will Go On in my head. Do you play like the upbeat stuff? Or
I hate ballads? My Heart Will Go On, actually, because I'm not a Titanic fan. And like, also, they play that song so much.
So does she.
Thank God. Like, Celine and I are very much like that. No, I will play like I Drove All Night. I will play, what is it? Oh.
Well, the song, I will say, so the song that she came out to tonight, when they introduced her, when she came on stage, was not My Heart Will Go On. It is The Power of Love, which was her best jam. Mm. Best jam.
Although, no, I would say, gosh, I can't, what is it? Hold on. It's here. Hold on. It's All Coming Back to Me Now. That is my favorite one. Yeah.
Oh,
that is song. It. It's like her dramatic. That one. And there's also A New Day. That's another like really good one. I'm just like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
It's All Coming Back to Me Now. The Power of Love, A New Day. Those, I would say those are my top three. And then, yeah. And another good one for classes is I Drove All Night, which is a remake though of another song or of another person. I forget who did the original of that song, but anyway. Yeah. But I'm glad that we got to see Celine, and I'm looking at pictures and she looks really good. Like it's not
great.
That like it is all about how somebody looks, but in a way, just from a picture, I haven't seen any video. You wouldn't think that she was ill. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think it's like, she just looks good. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's almost, some people might go, well, then she's not sick. But I think it's, for me, I go, she's sick. Whatever's happening is happening. It's affecting her life. But I'm glad that she looks well. Am I making sense there? Mm-hmm. I don't want her to look ill and frail for like people to like be like, oh my God. Yeah. I want her to be able to like have dignity in that sense.
Yeah. Because sometimes they like at a certain point, Frank Sinatra knew to, basically if she's going out and looking okay, she's not disappearing from us soon. Because sometimes, like, it's when they withdraw and you never see them again at a certain point. Like, Sinatra, just like, so, wishing her well. Her heart goes on.
Mm-hmm. With her power of love.
You know what would help this podcast go on, speaking of which? If you guys could rate, subscribe, review, and follow Pretty Corrupt Podcast. Share with your friends, your music producers, your whoever you're feuding with on Twitter, anyone. But of course, head on over to social media as well, where you could find us on TikTok and Instagram at Pretty Corrupt Podcast. Also, on Twitter at Pretty Corrupt One, and on all those accounts you're linked to our individual ones as well, where you could find our chaotic journeys through life, etc. And if you haven't, you remember, of course, we have two episodes. This is PCP Pop Culture. If you haven't listened already, we also have the Bravo Breakdown out today, so check them all out, and we'll see you next week. 'Cause no one can